It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Two from two, another Super Saturday for footy up here in Queensland. The Gold Coast Suns recording a monumentous victory over the Pies while the Lions with their machines up and running. Welcome them to Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure for another week. Man down this week, Jack Fulham, but stepping in the place of Will Rolston, Brett Thomas, thank you very much for being with us once again.
I've become the medical sub. I'm the who's been the most used medical sub this season? Whoever it is, I'm coming for them.
I can only really think of one medical sub that's made a real impact, and that was Oscar McDonald in like the first game of the season.
Yeah,
so
against the Tigers.
I feel like you're a real Oscar McDonald type.
Yep, so Tom Berry.
Not enough time at the moment, Tommy Berry, but we'll get to that in a second.
Nick Holman.
Oh,
he was the sub
yes.
at the Suns for like the first, you know, like four rounds.
Super sub.
Well, on that note, another super sub has been made. The Lions game against Fremantle yesterday shifted from Optus Stadium over to the Gabba. So that'll be played 4:40 p.m. Sunday. That's Mother's Day. Tough luck for the Dockers. But I am curious about this because the Lions would have had four games to end the season at the Gabba. Of course, the swap with Geelong. Sorry, pardon me, with Collingwood from earlier in the year. Now, I would look at that fixture and go, what a great way to end the season. Greg Swan yesterday came out and said, that's probably the best thing for us, that we can travel to Perth in that penultimate round of the season. What's your take on that, Brett?
Well, it's probably better that it's the Dockers rather than the Eagles, and the Dockers have dropped away a little bit. But I guess, you know, it just means that they get an extra home game now, you know, potentially easier to extend their winning streak to four. Ideally, yeah, four games to end the season's pretty good, especially if they're vying for top two and to keep the bodies fresh. But we know this season can throw up enormous challenges, so have to take it.
At the moment, you know, with Melbourne, they've got their COVID situation under control. You are going to have to get on a plane at some point in the finals to go, and the power that the way they are, you're probably going to have to go to either Melbourne or South Australia.
It looks to be that way.
So if you have that last four rounds of the season, plus if the Lions finish top four, they get a couple of home finals, you probably don't want to sit in Queensland for 8 weeks and then have to travel for a grand final. You'd probably want something to, you know, sort of disrupt the routine, I think. So travelling to Perth later on in the season wouldn't be a bad idea.
Well, that Lions, as we said, their run of the finals is starting to look a little bit more likely than what we expected at the start of the year. 49-point win over who we thought were going to be premiership contenders, Port Adelaide, on Saturday night. Port were never in with a sniff at any point of that game. The Lions really flexed their muscle, and both of you boys, you were there at the game. Beta, are you calling all the action? This is more what we've come to expect for the Lions, but why has it taken them so long to actually find this gear?
Well, maybe it's just that some of the teams that went deep into the finals struggled a bit. They had compromised lead-ins. Whatever happened at the start of the season, they've rediscovered their mojo. They're back to the Lions of old. I mean, Port Adelaide were terrible from the opening bounce, but it just seemed like Chris Fagan had some massive wins in the coach's box. And we've seen some real courageous acts in recent weeks. Lachie Neale playing through the ankle injury, Mitch Robinson, Ryan Lester getting cleaned up, and that seems to have really sparked them.
Well, the really big one for me was Harris Andrews. We've talked about him a fair bit on this podcast this year, and unfortunately for the Chief in a slightly negative light, but he really held his own against an opponent whose body shape he has traditionally struggled against in Charlie Dixon.
Oh, absolutely. The week before against Harry Mackay, he got very well beaten. Harry Mackay kicked six on him and beat him on the day. He gave Charlie Dixon an absolute bath on the weekend. I think he had 15 touches. 14 of those were intercept possessions. He outmarked Charlie. He beat him to the footy. And then when Charlie finally got a shot on goal in the third quarter, he did the wacky inflatable tube man and put him off. And
100% efficiency for distracting a man on the mark. Well done.
100%. So, and that's the mark of a champion player in the game is that, yeah, they can have bad games, but the way that he responded was just first class. So, you know, Harris is back.
So, and speaking of coming back, Darcy Gardner should be coming into the lineup this week. I have to ask the question, though, who goes? We saw Beast Mode come back in. He was serviceable with 14 touches. Brady, how do you rate the debut from the young Irishman, James Madden?
I don't remember seeing him a lot. Didn't get a lot of the footy, but maybe they could look at resting Grant Birchall, give him a week off. This could be the week to do it at 33 years of age. Give Madden another crack at it, because they would love to get him involved. They getting that bounce off halfback. They're not the quicker side off halfback. So if they can get him a little bit of confidence, and we're seeing Devin Robinson now start to thrive and look more composed at AFL level, they could get Madden some extra games, maybe give Birchall the week off. I reckon the Dockers Sunday twilight game might be the week to do that.
So 4:40 p.m. Sunday afternoon, Mother's Day. Kids in free at the Gabba for that one. As we said, it's been a great weekend. Two from two for Queensland teams. The Gold Coast, this may go down as one of their greatest victories ever, but I just want to play you this. This happened late in the last quarter, and this may be one of their greatest moments ever.
The Gold Coast chant ringing around the MCG.
The Gold Coast chant going around the MCG. The Suns, it's taken about 10 years, but they've finally made it. They've finally got that. No, that was their fourth victory on the MCG in their entire history. But how does that... I looked at their crowd numbers. Only about 20,000 in the MCG, and the Gold Coast contingent did not make up many of them. How the hell did they start that, and how was that ringing around by the end of the game?
I reckon... I think it was about maybe 20 or 30... Gold Coast cheer squad people there.
It's not massive.
But I'm thinking that over the course of the game, there's some neutrals in the members that have kind of jumped on board with it, because it really had a nice reverberation of it. I think there might have been a few in the Ponsford too. Like it filled out the sound.
Yeah, maybe they spread their numbers around.
Oh.
I don't mind that. Well, I had every reason to sing, because that victory there, 24 points in the end, but they didn't take their foot off Collingwood's throat. Once they had a sniff, they kept going to the very last minute of the game. And Tuk Miller, in my mind, is a serious smoky for All-Australian selection. He was superb on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got a really settled side. Miller is standing up as, you know, the leader of the midfield, really. You know, tough player, tackles hard, wins the footy. You know, when you looked at those two sides on paper, you know, the Magpies still have some really seasoned players, but because of Treloar, Stevenson, Phillips going, they've got that sort of young players and then older players. There's a big gap in the middle. Whereas the Suns have, apart from injuries to their big men, have got a relatively settled side, highly skilled, another Saturday afternoon game, and they were just tougher and more skilled than Collingwood.
The bloke I want to talk about, when he came to the Gold Coast at the end of the 2019 season, Brandon Ellis, it was kind of thought that the Gold Coast might be paying overs to get a player that's been a part of a premiership side but is a good at best player. The leadership that he's provided, as well as backing it up with some incredible performances, and he's consistent every week, he has been worth whatever they're paying him, the Gold Coast Suns. And you just saw on the weekend his leadership, the way that he was sort of directing traffic around the field, and whenever there was a big ball to go and win, it just seemed in that last quarter he went and won it. So he's been incredible, Brandon Ellis.
And he's truly loved around the club too. My intel says that he's just flooding around the membership department most days as well. He knows every name of every person on that staff list there at the Gold Coast, and he's truly adored by them. We move forward now to this Saturday afternoon at Metricon Stadium, 2:10. You can hear that call on Triple M Footy. Brett Thomas, you'll be leading the charge there. We like this time slot for the Suns. They seem to just have the conditions set perfectly Saturday afternoon at Metricon Stadium. But here's the issue they run into. Facing the Saints, the Gold Coast, like Melbourne of old, don't wear the favourite tag very well. The bookies have got them just ahead at the moment. I've never liked the Suns with a favourite tag. Where's this game going to be won and lost?
Well, it depends on what St Kilda side turns up. I would give the edge to the Suns. Yeah, interesting. Coming off a win, there's a lot of good media about them. I reckon Stuart Dew will be right on them to make sure that they train hard this week. They don't start getting ahead of themselves. They're knocking on the door of the top eight. And I think it starts with the way that they use the ball, keeping the footy off the Saints and pressuring the Saints into turnovers. They can be a team prone to turnovers, St Kilda. So if they can pressure them, the likes of Holman, you know, Tuk Miller and the like, then they are a massive shot of beating St Kilda.
Of course, we have overlooked the biggest showdown of the day, and I need to know the answer here from both of you. Only one true king can remain supreme.
Yes.
Who Ooh. Will kick more, Max or Ben?
I'm going to back in Ben.
Big Ben?
I'm back in. I think Ben's been a lot more consistent this year.
Yeah.
And he's really starting to look like, he took 8 marks on the weekend, but he's really starting to put together consistent games.
Yep.
And I feel like it's not too long until Ben, and actually probably the same for Max too, it's not too long until we see a King brother dominate a game and kick a big bag, a say, 8 to 10 goals.
Good to see. Absolutely no, zero bias in this box, but that's what we do very well up here in Queensland. So that game, 2:10 Saturday afternoon. Check your local guides. Triple M rocking footy there. Just finally, Brett Thomas, thank you very much again for filling in for us. Next week,
thank you, Nick.
We have the Q Clash special.
It will be special.
The AFL's greatest manufactured rivalry, and we will dedicate the whole podcast to it. That's right. And the investigation that we've talked about for so long, finally, we will see some evidence presented on the table to solve the mystery of who broke the Q Cup.
Yeah, we're actually going to present a top 10 list of the most manufactured rivalries in sports.
It feels like padding for lack of evidence.
Well, it's going to be interesting if this one, the Q Clash comes in at number one, or the A-League's The Big Blue between Melbourne and Sydney comes out number one. Actually, to be honest, the top 10 list will probably just be filled out with A-League.
It's a drive-by, but when you get less than 1,000 to a game, fair enough, you're asking for it.
Throw an NBL one in there as well.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Cairns versus Brisbane, the Sunshine Stoush.
Oh, yeah.
That's Triple M's Northern Exposure for another week. Brett Thomas, Jack Fulham, Nick Davis, thank you very much.
Go the Bullets.